Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Dan Duggett from NJ.com. Today's show from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin out today, attending to some very important personal business. And will rejoin us tomorrow. Our thanks to Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle, who joined us in the second half hour of the show. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Now let's find out what the heck is going on at Rutgers with everything. Seven arrests in 11 days. We bring in their outstanding beat writer who's joined us before. In fact, we had Dan Duggan on the show back on July 1st, a year ago, the day Rutgers officially was in the Big Ten, and Dan was kind enough to join us that day, and now joins us again from Newark, where he covers for NJ.com. Dan, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you certainly had a busy beat here in the last few weeks. Seven arrests in the last 11 days. Give me an idea of the atmosphere surrounding the program from a fan and also from an internal point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been just an amazing stretch. Obviously, just to cover it has been quite an experience, let alone the people inside. The one thing I will say, the program has done a great job of keeping kind of a united front. You know, their message is that all this adversity has brought the team closer together. Kyle Flood's kind of kept a brave face publicly through all of this. And at the same time, some of the other incidents were guys that, you know, maybe weren't quite to the level of Leonte Crew, who was the most recent player arrested. He was really a face of the program type guy and a jersey guy and just kind of everything that this program was about. I mean, team captain. So to have him get arrested was really a shock. Again, players are saying the right thing. I think this one hits a little close to home. And also, I mean, he's their best player by far. So it's going to impact on the field more than maybe some of the other ones. The fan base is a little bit split. I mean, obviously, there's a segment that's going to kind of circle the troops and you know, act like the media is out to get them by reporting on this stuff. And there's another segment, I would say, that, you know, maybe it's probably 50-50 now, that's really just disgusted with kind of so many off-the-field incidents, you know, happening at one time.
Dan, before we get to Carew, the other ones, how disturbing is it that it appears the arrest report are extremely detailed about them?
What do you mean by that?
Well, in other words, they're talking about who drove the car, who didn't drive the car, who was involved in the armed robbery, who was involved with a knife, who was involved with a gun. I mean, the police report on the other guys that were arrested is a very detailed report. How disturbing is that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the specifics are the sort of thing that takes it to another level. And really, and they're going to get to Carew, but with Carew, there's really not many specifics, that are at least, you know, presented as facts with a lot of rumors swirling. But these guys, when you just think about, you know, some of those details of, you know, masked home invaders, you know, coming in with weapons, obviously that kind of thing, strikes a chord. And it really, when you're talking about multiple home invasions for a few of these guys, it's almost like they were running like a, you know, criminal enterprise. You know, it wasn't just a fight, which some of them were involved in. That's something I think a lot of people can, you know, don't like to see it happen, but it does happen. Whereas when you're talking about, you know, armed home invasions, that's a whole different level.
And then the Carew situation, the rumor swirls that there are players that told me, look, just don't go out, which as a captain, he should be the one telling them not to go out. So how murky is that one? Because it seems like that one doesn't have any details to it.
Yeah, and again, like I said, there's a lot of rumors going around. Obviously, I'm not going to put those out until they're factual. I mean,
true.
I think everyone's really waiting for a police report, which I'm not really sure when that would come about. I guess I really don't have a ton of experience. This is a little out of my element, but I guess in New Jersey, it's not quite as easy as some states to just get your hands on a police report. But yeah, there's a ton of different things going around. And one thing that we reported that, you know, we definitely are confident saying is that there was an altercation involving two females, and Carew got involved in that. Again, just the question is kind of what he did when he got involved. And he was charged yesterday with simple assault connected to domestic violence. The simple assault really isn't that significant a charge. I'm not trying to downplay it, but
right.
It's not a charge that you're going to see, you know, prison time, especially for a guy with no prior record. So unless that charge is elevated, it's interesting that he was suspended indefinitely. But then again, I think Kyle Flood probably had no choice just with so many other things. He has to take a hard stance, especially Carew was actually suspended for the first half of the season opener for violating curfew. So it was more like his second strike. And again,
right.
We don't know exactly how serious this was. So I guess we're kind of waiting and seeing what actually does come out.
The other arrests affected the secondary. So let's get to the football part. How have they adjusted in that secondary? What does it look like now that they had to make so many changes?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, it really hit one spot, and the secondary wasn't terribly deep to begin with. So that definitely is a big hit on the field. It's almost hard to gauge. I think this Saturday will kind of tell just maybe how bad this could be for them, because the first game they played Norfolk State, which was a 1AA team, had no chance. And then last week they played Washington State, who throws for 1 million yards on everybody, and then they did it against Rutgers. So haven't really gotten a true test to see, like, you know, what a normal offense can do against the secondary. But, you know, you lose, you're starting free safety, and you're starting cornerback 2 days before the season opener. Obviously that's gonna hurt. And they're really thin. They've true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, you know, at cornerback. So those are guys that you would think, if nothing else, there's going to be some growing pains. But like I said, I'm really interested to see how they do this week, because, you know, Washington State, I don't think it would have mattered who was out there. You know, Washington State throws on everybody.
Right. They throw on. That's why somebody on the Rutgers Network, was interviewed by them today, and they're asking about they were telling me about the Rutgers run defense. I said, how do you know? I mean, Norfolk State, so what? And Washington State doesn't run the ball.
Right.
Which brings me to Hamilton. Darius Hamilton's not just a good football player. He's a really good football player. They haven't had him yet. What's his status?
Yeah, he's ruled out again with an injury. And, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. If you were to tell me going into the Penn State game, Rutgers isn't going to have Darius Hamilton and Leontay Carew, let alone the defensive backs, I mean, it's quite a hole to climb out of. And the two best players right there in Hamilton and Carew. With Hamilton, been a bit of a mystery. You know, Kyle Flood, like a lot of college football coaches, doesn't give a lot of details on injuries. But, you know, basically goes with lower body is what he's classifying it as. Keeps saying week to week, but it's been a long time since Hamilton's even been on the practice field. So it's hard to figure him making a quick turnaround and getting on the field next week even, unless he was able to start practicing. So definitely out for Saturday. Definitely a huge void. I mean, he's just a really disruptive player. Draws double teams, you know, creates havoc in the middle of the line. And that really got exposed against Washington State because the pass rush was non-existent.
Dan Duggan from NJ.com. And Dan, now we get to the offensive side of the ball. Carew's a tough guy to replace. But tell me a little bit about a guy that we saw last year, Jadarian Grant, who already has 5 kicks for touchdowns in his career in 3 and 2 weeks. But as a receiver, he's also a threat, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really, talking about, making the most of his opportunities there. I mean, it's getting to the point where I would be shocked if, Penn State even kicked him the ball. Because, I mean, he got 3 returns in 2 games. It's a pretty good batting average for a kick returner. Especially in Washington State, I mean, they were clutch returns. It's 2 go-ahead returns in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's really like kind of almost legendary stuff when you really think about it. It's unfortunate for him that they didn't win the game, because it's more of a just an anecdote now. But yeah, he really has developed more all around, because, again, he's a guy, obviously, if you just without even seeing him play, you hear those stats with the returns. You know, he's a shifty, elusive guy with great speed. And the challenge always has been just kind of getting him involved in the offense. He's kind of struggled with drops at times. But he really seemed to have worked, and he had a great camp, and it's carried over to the season where he had some big catches. They ran a jet sweep with him the other day for 21 yards, and I think that's something they really need to make a concerted effort. Just get him the ball. It doesn't need to be, a tough catch in traffic. Just get him the ball and let him make plays, because, as he's shown on special teams, he's capable, and I think his role with Carew is going to just continue to expand.
The LSU transfer, Hayden Reddick, is there, and then there's Chris Laviano. Laviano started last week. What has given him the edge in this race between the two?
That's a good question, because from what we saw in training camp, in the scrimmages, and even in the opener, Hayden Reddick is clearly a more physically talented player. He's got an NFL caliber arm. Kyle Flood obviously isn't going to, talk negatively about any of his players, but the sense is that Chris Laviano, who's been in the program for 3 years, as opposed to Reddick, who only has, 1 year and ran the scout team last fall, Laviano just has a better handle on the offense. At the same time, when, Laviano had some really ugly turnovers last week, so if your advantage is that, you're smarter and you're on the system better, well, you better take care of the ball, because Hayden Reddick just has a lot more upside. So it's a lot of the fan base is not happy that you have, this stud quarterback sitting on the sidelines, and especially when Laviano's performance last week didn't really do anything to quiet those critics.
Yeah. Andre Patton, by the way, he has to get into the mix here at wide receiver. You would think that he'd be more of a focal point with Carew out. Would that be an accurate thought, at least going in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy who is supremely talented, and he's had some great springs and training camps. And last year he suffered an injury right before the season started. It took him a little while to get up to speed, but he finished the season really, really strong the last two games especially. He's a guy who, was number two receiver, with Carew. I would think he's the most likely guy to step in as the number one guy, because Grant is still, he's a slot. He's not going to be, quite the downfield threat, that Patton could be. And then another guy who is kind of a similar boat to Patton and hasn't done as much on the field, but Kalen Nagodosi will get an opportunity. He's 6'6", 220. I mean, he looks the part. And like I said, he's another guy who's had a great offseason. Hasn't translated to the field, but he was behind Leonte Crew. So not quite as many opportunities in the past. And now it's certainly going to be his chance to show what he can do on the big stage.
The running backs. I really like Rutgers' offensive line a lot. And, boys, there are a lot to choose for at running back. Martin, Hicks, James. Talk about the stable that they have in conjunction with that offensive line, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about what's going to replace Leonte Crew, it's not going to be a receiver, putting up his type of numbers. It's probably just going to be the running backs, carrying even more of the load, because, as you said, they're really stacked back there. I mean, Paul James is a guy who he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but in the last 2 years, he got off the, phenomenal starts, among the nation's leading rushers, unfortunately, ran into injuries both years. But his injury last year maybe was a blessing in disguise, because it gave opportunities to a couple of freshmen, Josh Hicks and Robin Martin, who really came on strong at the end of the year. So now they're sophomores. They really have a three-headed monster there where you can kind of put any one of them in, and the challenge is almost like, when do you pull a guy out, because they're all doing well. So that's a good problem to have, obviously. Hicks is the guy who I think is really emerging as, he's the stud. I mean, he's really a dynamic player. He's strong. He's fast. He can kind of do everything. James is still kind of working back. Torn ACL 11 months ago. It's going to take him a little bit of time, and they have the luxury of easing him back. But, yeah, it's definitely the strength of the team, bar none, is their backfield depth.
There will be very few pass rushers in this conference that are in the same category as Kamoka Touré. I think he's been banged up a little bit. What is his status right now?
Right, yeah, he has been banged up. He'll play. So, I mean, it's not like it's anything to keep him out. But I think the bigger problem for him being banged up was he, missed some reps during training camp. And he's a guy who is supremely physically talented, but is raw, so every rep counts for him. They're trying to get him to the point where he's an every down defensive end, because last year he was really just coming on passing situations to go get the quarterback, and he excelled at that. He hasn't been able to take that next step because, it's the point of 2 games. He's been banged up. And when Washington State wasn't really the greatest matchup to get after the quarterback for him, because he get the ball out so quick. So that's again where you needed Hamilton maybe in the middle, where Torrey's coming off the edge, but I would think, Touré has to be looking at his chops, looking at that Penn State offensive line. And he's a guy who, I promise you, James Franklin will be accounting for on every snap, because he is just he's a physical freak. I mean, he's only really played 2 years of organized football. I mean, his senior year of high school and last year at Rutgers. So he's a guy who is still quite a learning curve, and he's still, making an impact. So the sky's really the limit for him. And this could be a big, kind of breakout game for him, I would think.
What about the Miami transfer, Kai Hester? Where does he figure in?
He's a guy who was coming along really strong in training camp, and then he suffered an injury, missed the opener, but he was back last week and started as like the nickel back. He'll be in the mix. He's a guy with a lot of potential. Was a big recruit for Rutgers, actually decommitted, went to Miami, and then, turned right around and came back to Rutgers. So he's a guy who they're really high on. Especially with the, we were talking about the lack of depth in the secondary. know, he's a redshirt freshman, and they're going to lean heavily on him. But he's a guy who could be a playmaker, and that's really what this defense needs. You know, they need some guys who can, you know, force some turnovers, make some big plays, and Hester's a guy who has shown that he has the potential to do that.
Now, how concerned are they with Kyle Federico, who obviously is a veteran kicker, has made some big kicks, but he's also had six blocked in his career. What do you make of him?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I think, you know, the fan base, you know, seems to get pretty anxious over him. But when you look at his numbers and compare him to, you know, the rest of college football, I think he's above average. I mean, he's certainly not automatic, but he made both of his kicks last week. I think one was a 48-yarder right before the half. That was a big kick. So I think he's, you know, he's not Adam Vinatieri in his prime or anything, but he's pretty solid for a college kicker. So I think some of the anxiety with him is probably a little overblown in the fan base, because I don't think they realize that there's not too many kickers in the country who are, you know, who are going to be making 90%, 85%. So he's in that 75 to 80 range, which I think, you know, pretty much every coach will sign up for.
Finally, Dan, and we appreciate your time very much, as always. It's the conference opener for both teams. I know that, you know, last year's game was the first ever game for Rutgers in the Big Ten. How do you view it, the series, the renewal of the series, the renewal part's in its infancy? How do you view this long term?
Yeah, well, I think that for Rutgers, you know, they want this to be, you know, kind of the rivalry game. And I think for Penn State, they're certainly not really too open to that, I wouldn't imagine, because, you know, it's kind of been a little brother you've been beating up on. You don't want to legitimize it. But last year's game, I mean, came right down to the wire. The atmosphere was great, High Point Solution Stadium. I'm assuming the atmosphere is going to be great on Saturday night. I've actually never been to a game at Penn State, so I assume that's going to be quite an experience. I think it's one of those things that, you know, both coaches have heard say in their own way that, you know, it's going to take time to build anything, but I think the ingredients at least are there. I mean, I think it's really on Rutgers to, you know, maybe close that gap, because obviously history favors Penn State, but I think there's no reason why it shouldn't develop into something. You got two schools, you know, located near each other, recruiting a lot of the same players. It just seems like a natural fit.
Dan, always a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you at your first ever Beaver Stadium game on Saturday night. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Dan Duggan, NJ.com, as in New Jersey, Steve. Okay. Not SJ.com, as in Steve Jones. We thank Dan for being with us. It'll be the first time he's ever been in Beaver Stadium. Pirates have scored in the bottom of the eighth inning on a sacrifice fly, a stolen base, and a throwing error that got the runner to the third. Run knocked in on the sack fly. Now Mark Melanson is in trying to tie it down. 5-4, Pirates top of the ninth inning at PNC Park in the game one of a day-night doubleheader with the Chicago Cubs. All right, we will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried-and-true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Bobby, you're here again.
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I could finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at just $6.49. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Looking for endless potential in one machine? The Kubota BX Series is the one machine that can take on nearly any outdoor project. Now with Kubota's Orange Plus program, get great customer instant rebates when you buy a new BX70 and two implements. And get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 5 years during our Power to Do Great Things sales event. Now through September 30th, 2015. Call toll-free 1-888-465-8268 for details about cost and terms.
For more information or to find a participating dealer, visit pakubotadealers.com.
Hi, I'm Stu Schroeder with the Friends of Shikellamy State Park, and I would like to personally invite you to our next event at the marina. On Sunday, October 4th, from 12 to 5, the Friends will have our annual Harvest Festival. We will have a variety of vendors, activities, and entertainment the whole family will enjoy. This is our final event of the season, and we will be highlighting our efforts to raise money for a new swing set and playground at the marina. We are currently at about $10,000 of the $30,000 needed to complete this project. So we'll see you on October the 4th.
The store is open. Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation brings you Half Price Susquehanna Valley, where you can buy a certificate for half the cost of its value.
The best wings in the valley are at Dynamic Wings and Subs, Baldwin Boulevard, Shamokin Dam. And this Wednesday morning at 9, you can get your Dynamic Wings and Subs $20 gift certificates for just $10. And not just wings, they also offer pizza, salads, stromboli, and sandwiches, too.
Get shopping and save this week at Half Price Susquehanna Valley, only from
WKOK.com.
All right, thanks to Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, who joined us at 3:35 today, and also to Dan Duggan from NJ.com, who joined us at 4:06. And if you missed either interview, check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Dan Duggan, by the way, just posted moments ago on NJ.com that what Leonte Carew is now accused of is picking up his girlfriend and dumping her to the concrete and hurting her hip, her hand, and her arm. That is what he's accused of doing, according to the police report. So, needless to say, the odds of him being taken off indefinite suspension will be long. So that's what he's accused of, and that's what Dan wrote in his article on NJ.com today. So, that's 7 in 11 days. But, again, that's their issue. I mean, that's, you know, if as we all know here all too well, you have your own issues to deal with, and you don't exactly have the world pitting you. You just got to go out and play. And you, that's one thing Dan also said, is that they have really pulled together there. Well, we'll see how it plays out on Saturday night. It's the Big Ten opening. And it's big for both teams. You want to get off to a great start. I also think James Franklin is right that this is going to be a situation as time goes. Initially, you're going to have everybody playing 9 consecutive conference games after 3 non-conference games in this particular cycle. But I think they'll get to a point where they do things like the Pac-12 does, and like especially the SEC, really good in the SEC when it comes to staggering games. And the SEC's been great at this for years. They stagger conference games to get you a feeling that there's a big conference game every week. And it turns out that this game with Rutgers was already on the schedule as a non-conference game. And the Pirates, by the way, have won 5-4 over the Cubs in game. Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Kevin not with us today. Important personal matter to take care of. He will be back tomorrow. Scheduled tomorrow, I believe we're going in the direction of Merrill Reese tomorrow, which will be terrific to have him on the show. Thursday will be our announcers roundtable on the respective games that you'll hear in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Shikellamy's going to be playing at Sealands Grove. And we'll also look at Lewisburg, which is off to a great start, and Milton as well. Milton, of course, on WMLP radio. And Lewisburg on the Valley 100.9, Sealands Grove on Eagle 107, which is also the home of the Eagles. And, of course, Shikalimi, as always, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday. And also working on seeing if we can get Matt Millen before the week is out. Matt will be doing the game on BTM with Kevin Kugler coming up. Pirates won today, the opener of a day-night doubleheader. They beat the Cubs 5-4. They built up a 4-1 lead. Then the Cubs came back and tied it. Pirates then scored on a hit, a stolen base, an error to get the runner to the third, and then a sac fly to bring them in and win the game 5-4. They scored the game winner in the bottom half of the eighth inning. So a big win for the Pirates today. They play the Cubs again tonight. And it's a separate admission day. It's a day-night doubleheader. This was a makeup from a game earlier in the year. They got wiped out because of bad weather. So, big win for the Bucs today, and they continue to put the pressure on the Cardinals, who are playing at Milwaukee tonight. For Rutgers going into this game, as I mentioned, Dan Duggan from NJ.com reporting that Carew, the wide receiver, is accused of picking his girlfriend up and, quote, slamming her to the concrete. A mere 48 minutes after he had a press conference in the building about the Washington State game. So I don't know. I mean, seriously. No, more details will come out at some point. He's suspended indefinitely and being suspended indefinitely and out of this game. Also, Darius Hamilton, injury-wise, out of the game as well. For Penn State, according to James Franklin today, the door still open for Brandon Bell, Grant Haley, and for Andrew Nelson in the game. We'll see how the week plays out. Getting Bell back would be huge in this area because, you know, he plays that field linebacker spot. They like to use the running backs a lot. He plays instinctively. He's also a guy that's really effective off the blitz. He really scrapes off that blitz now. It would be a big help to the younger linebackers, Jason Kabinda and Troy Reeder, to have Bell out there. And Bell's just a junior, but he's the one with the most game experience. As for Haley, been waiting for Haley to get back in there because the reason Jordan Lucas was moved to corner was to get a guy like Grant Haley on the field. You know, Lucas is a fine college corner. But now you want your four best defensive backs on the field at once. That would be Trevor Williams, Marcus Allen, Jordan Lucas, and Grant Haley. And the opportunity to get Haley back would be big. And for Haley, the bottom line is the speed, because there's nobody's going to be able to outrun him. And that's what they try to tell him all the time. They try to tell him all the time, don't worry about, you know, somebody getting past you because they can't outrun you. Just keep them in front of you and you're going to be just fine. John Reed has done a good job over there. Be a good chance for him to get into games and spots here and there instead of having to handle the entire load as a true freshman. Christian Campbell, frankly, has been a little bit up and down so far. And because he's been a little bit up and down, they'd feel better spotting him a little bit more right now instead of giving him extended playing time. And he would then go back to backing up Trevor Williams with Haley coming back. And the coverage thing, that's going to be huge in this game. Very big. Jadarian Grant has returned 5 kicks for touchdowns in his career. 3 kickoffs and 2 punts. He's returned 3 of those 5 in the opening 2 games of this season. 2 kickoffs and a punt. And last week he returned a kickoff and a punt. So he's just really good. And Grant now becomes, along with Andre Patton, with Carew out, very important to what Rutgers does in the passing game. Now the question is going to be, is Chris Laviano would be the quarterback over Hayden Reddick? I thought Dan Duggan's response, when you listen to it, asking about Reddick and about Laviano, that there are fans there that are really surprised that Reddick, the transfer from LSU, is not the quarterback. But they're both at 81% on the year. And now we'll see how it plays out. It's a conference opener. you want to get off to a great start in the conference, and you want to feel after the Temple game that there's a building process going on. You felt that step one in the building process was to, you know, they played much better in the second half, but in that building process, they at least got something accomplished in the Buffalo game. That was important. Getting something accomplished in the Buffalo game was very important. And they did. They got something accomplished. And look, Saquon Barkley is someone that has every... And I think what Rich Scarcella said is very important. Think about the overall speed across the board on this team that is being injected part by part into what's happening. There have been other Penn State teams over the years that have had speed. No question about that. The 1982 team had speed. The 1986 team, 85 and 86, had some, especially defensive speed. The 94 team had speed. Now, Bobby Engram was not going to blur you in a 40, but Bobby Engram was able to run in such a way where the instincts to play a wide receiver are so important. But Carter, obviously, a great athlete. Stephen Pitts, a really good athlete. Michael Archie, a really good athlete. I mean, Kyle Brady was a freak of nature. Freddie Scott, I think everyone forgets about Freddie Scott. Freddie Scott run that straight line. It was very hard to pick up. But you see it, there's a depth of speed being sprinkled in here and there. Barkley brings speed quicker than in terms of pure straight line speed than Nikhil Lynch. But it's not as if Lynch can't run, because he can. Nick Scott has some real jump to him, too. And Mark Allen's a little shiftier. Then you go to the wideout spot. You know, Hamilton can run. Godwin can really run. Blacknell can run. And you watch Polk. I mean, obviously, Polk can run. You might as well give him a baton out there and have him run the anchor leg. Gesicki's a different kind of tight end, but Mike has to be a better fundamental blocker. I mean, you know, I know Mike struggled catching the ball last week. Now, to be honest with you, a total shock for Jack and me. Because, and Jack even, I mean, Jack called me earlier today, and he said, geez, Steve, he says, you know, we're talking about Gesicki. He said, you know, are the two of us imagining things? I said, no, you and I have watched him make how many one-handed catches. I mean, over and over, catch here, catch there, catch here, catch there. He never fights the football. Yet on Saturday, he fought the football. I don't know. Who knows? Getting Kyle Carter back really helps. You saw that in that flanker screen. That made a big difference, the one that Hamilton scored on. And by the way, James Franklin said, look, he agreed with the penalty call. Yeah, I mean, yes. Is it a penalty to spin the ball in the back? Yeah, but he'll never do that again. He'll never do that again. Hey, I mentioned that yesterday, the Jim McElwain thing. And it was brought up to James Franklin. Like, first of all, from the point of view of, in coaching, of making a point in the moment, totally understand that. But there are ways of doing it. And, yeah, I mean, in high school, did my coach yell at me? Well, not that much, but I mean, did he yell at me? Yeah. I mean, did he yell at other guys? Yeah. But not. But you know what? Our high school coach was never crazed, ever. Ever. Yeah, I actually kind of had a rather, you know, steady personality all the way through. Same thing with our assistants. Very steady all the way through. I mean, it's, I mean, I watched how Joe coached. Did Joe yell at times? Yeah, Joe yelled at times. Did Joe throw the team off the practice field a few times? Yeah, but that was always calculated, to be honest with you. You get about midway through training camp, you could expect at some point he'd throw the team off the field. It's just what he did, because he was trying to send a message to the young players. It doesn't really matter that Steve Jones understood that it was a calculated move on a two-a-day to kind of get a little bit more out of the team. But he did. And, did Bill O'Brien yell? Yeah. I mean, did they both demand other players to play with poise and so forth? I mean, I remember a game at Pitt where Joe climbed all over Todd Moles about a penalty he committed. Climbed all over him on the sideline. but didn't use the language that McElwain did. Not even close. Joe was not a person who swore. Just was not. Okay? I'll give you a good example. The expression that I heard so many times, okay, guy would drop a ball, and I would hear all of a sudden that voice, catch the darn ball. But my point is, Joe didn't swear on the practice field. Joe didn't swear a play. It's not what he did. You know, McElwain is, you know, the language he used in conjunction with everything. How do you expect your players to play with poise, okay, when you lose yours? How? That's his problem. That's how he has to deal with it. Now, was he correct in making the point? Yes, he was correct to make a point. It's the way he did it. But the point was correct. Hey, what Fred Taylor's kid was wrong. And that's an absolute penalty. You know, the slash across the throat, really? I mean, use of common sense. So let's not lose sight that Taylor, and by the way, Taylor was dropped down in the depth chart this week. And he should be. He should be dropped down in the depth chart. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Now, the way he reacted, yeah, that's an issue. That's an issue. Because how do you sit there and tell your players, play with poise? Well, I don't see you keeping your poise. And I heard somebody say something completely ridiculous today. They said, well, we haven't heard any of the other players come out and say anything. You think any of the players are going to come out and say something? He controls their playing time. Come on.
You know what? I think you've heard Taylor wrong. Hey, guess who's third string this week?
That was ridiculous. You haven't heard any of the other players complain about it. Of course you haven't. He controls their playing time. They're not going to say a word. They're all sitting there saying the same thing, each one of them. I'm glad it wasn't yelling at me. They're all thinking the same thing. Thank goodness it's not me. They're not going to come out and say, hey, you know what? Oh, I find that funny. None of the other players said anything. No, they didn't. Now, did they? Okay, let's use some common sense here. Do you expect the players to come out with their brand new head coach and say, you know what? He shouldn't have yelled at Taylor. Oh, what do you mean I'm not? What do you mean I'm on the scout team?
It just reminds you, Steve, of the saying, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds. I think the players are being smart, obviously.
They're just kids. Okay, they're still just kids, for goodness sakes. They're all looking around. They're thinking the same thing, Kyle.
Thank goodness he's not yelling at me.
I'm glad it's not my turn. They're all thinking the same thing. They're not sitting there saying, oh, look what he's doing to Taylor. They're all standing there going, okay. I feel bad for Taylor, but, you know, what the heck. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
I'm a freelance photographer, and I handle my own business. That's why I use QuickBooks Self-Employed. It's a simple program that helps me estimate my federal quarterly taxes and separate my business and personal expenses. Say I buy a new lens. The purchase pops up on my phone. I just swipe left to file it as a business expense. And tickets to a ball game with my kids? I swipe right to file as personal.
Dad, I'm hungry.
And swipe right for the hot dogs. That's how I own it.
If you work for yourself, try QuickBooks Self-Employed with a free 30-day trial. Learn more at qbselfemployed.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look
and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay cargo shorts are just $39.99 each when you buy two or more.
The Penn Valley Airport Air Show is back, bigger and better than ever on Saturday, September 19th. Military aircraft from World War I, World War II, the Cold War, and Vietnam eras. Meet and talk with pilots of over 30 private, home-built, and ultralight aircraft. Talk to the crews of LifeFlight, Penn Tech, or Cirrus Aircraft. Visit the Susquehanna Valley CART Car Show, the food vendors, or watch the skydivers and aerobatic performances from a lawn chair of the most beautiful airport in the valley. Bring the entire family and enjoy a truly memorable free fall day at Penn Valley Airport in Selinge Grove.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is Brady going in and talking to the commissioner. The commissioner asked Tom Brady if he ever walked the stadium on a Saturday. Brady said, yes. Goodell, you did? Brady, yes. Goodell, yes? Question mark? Brady, yes. Oh, boy.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Hi, I'm Stu Schroeder with the Friends of Shikellamy State Park, and I would like to personally invite you to our next event at the marina. On Sunday, October 4th, from 12 to 5, the Friends will have our annual Harvest Festival. We will have a variety of vendors, activities, and entertainment the whole family will enjoy. This is our final event of the season, and we will be highlighting our efforts to raise money for a new swing set and playground at the marina. We are currently at about $10,000 of the $30,000 needed to complete this project. So we'll see you on October the 4th.
The store is open. Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation brings you Half Price Susquehanna Valley, where you can buy a certificate for half the cost of its value.
The best wings in the valley are at Dynamic Wings and Subs, Baldwin Boulevard, Shamokin Dam. And this Wednesday morning at 9, you can get your Dynamic Wings and Subs $20 gift certificates for just $10. And not just wings, they also offer pizza, salads, stromboli, and sandwiches too.
Get shopping and save this week at Half Price Susquehanna Valley, only from
WKOK.com.
Welcome. Great to have you with us as we close up shop for today. Our thanks, by the way, to Dan Duggan from NJ.com, who covers Rutgers on a daily basis and has had to cover a lot more about Rutgers than he ever dreamed you have to cover, especially when you're talking about seven players in 11 days being arrested. And not easy because you're covering something that's not in your comfort zone, and you're describing and talking about things that, again, are not in your comfort zone, and that's not an easy thing to do. But I think Dan's done a really good job of covering it. To be frank with you, he's done very well with it. And today I had to cover the Levante Carew story, where some details came out today about what Carew did to be arrested for simple assault. And it is alleged in the police report that he picked up his girlfriend and he slammed her to the concrete, hurting her hip and hurting her arm. So our thanks to him. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, our thanks always to Rich for being on the show and lending his perspective. And when I mean perspective, Rich is filled with perspective. He just brings a real, true, even-keel intelligence that I really enjoy and enjoy listening to and enjoy, finding out what he thinks and what his opinion happens to be. Pirates won today. They won 5-4. Game one, day-night doubleheader. Starling Marte delivered a sacrifice fly that scored Pedro Florimon in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's after the Cubs scored three, by the way, in the seventh inning to tie it 4-4. The Pirates won it. Tony Watson, the former State College Spike, won it. He's now 4-1. Mark Melanson gets his 46th save with a 1-2-3 ninth inning, and Grimm took the loss in this one for the Cubs. It's game one of a day-night double
header. Today they're trying to make up for a game. It's also a play in this where there was a base hit, an apparent base hit to right field, and Gregory Polanco threw the runner out at first base from right field. Okay. Now, yeah, I threw him out by several steps. They will play again tonight in the second game. John Lester against Jay Happ tonight. Lester 9-10 this year with a 3.50 ERA. And Happ, since the Pirates got him, has been tremendous. He is 5-1 with a 1.79 ERA. And that is this evening. The Pirates right now, closing the gap with, I think, two back of St. Louis in the division. That makes sense. They're 5 up now on the Cubs for third. And in the end, the Cubs will make the wild card in this thing. The Pirates are fighting for the division. Toronto's 3 up on the Yankees. Kansas City 9 up on the Twins. Houston is a half game up on the Rangers. 4.5 up on the Angels. Mets are 9.5 up on the Nationals. The Dodgers are 7.5 up on the Giants. The Cardinals are 2 up on the Pirates and 7 up on the Cubs. So the Pirates are 5 up on the Cubs in this one. The Cardinals play the Brewers tonight. So that's how things stack up in the major leagues this evening. The Phillies are playing 386 baseball. Okay. The Phillies have been outscored by 187 runs this year, which is number one in the majors. They're number one in the majors. The Braves are next. They've been outscored by 184 runs this year, so far this year. That's amazing. So, it really is amazing. Wow. Baseball has far greater balance now than at any time. It was a point where I think the perception was the haves versus the have-nots. But I think Jason Stark makes an excellent point. We've had Jason on the show before. That baseball has better balance than the NFL does. People think the NFL is great balance. Okay, well, the NFL does have balance in a certain way. But the Patriots make the playoffs every year. The Steelers are there almost every single year. The Ravens there almost every single year. And the Broncos are there almost every single year. Well, we just talked about the AFC. Now let's go to the NFC. The Seahawks are there virtually every year. The Packers are there virtually every single year. And the Eagles have made the playoffs how many times, you know? I mean, now you look at the majors. The Yankees, you know, they've won one World Series since 2000. And the Blue Jays are in first place. The Royals are now back in the thick of what's going on. You know, here are the Astros from last to first. Look at what the Pirates have done to the franchise now, where the third consecutive year they're right in the thick of it. And the Mets have gone from a middle-bottom pack team now to first place in their division. And the Dodgers have been pretty steady out in the West. As, of course, have been the Giants, who won 3 of the last 5, but are going to struggle to make the playoffs this year. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's show. Thanks for joining us today.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Hartley Carnes.
It breaks my heart.